Well, as we noted a few weeks ago, this section in Mark, chapter 4, is when Jesus begins to speak in parables, to teach the crowds in parables. And he says the well-known statement, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Meaning, of course, that not everybody who hears the parables will understand. Not everybody who hears Jesus' teaching will believe and follow him. And so we saw the first two parables in Mark chapter 4 had to do with individuals and how they were affected once they heard the word of God. If they hear the word, which was the seed in the first parable we saw, they accept it or they believe it, they became fruitful Christians. They were a good crop. And then we saw the second parable that for those individuals, the same people, the Christians, those who have the ears to hear, they were to be the lamps that shine light into darkness, shining light into the world. And but these next two parables that Jesus gives us aren't about individuals and about Christians. It's about the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God is like. Yeah. So for us mere humans, we don't really have a great idea of what the kingdom of God is like. Even when we read the entire Bible from Genesis through to Revelation, it's very hard for us to get a grasp on what the kingdom of God is going to be like. Even when Jesus gives us these parables, these small glimpses of what his kingdom is like, it's still very hard for us to understand. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." It's very hard for us to understand or for us to imagine what we had prepared for us in the kingdom of God. So when Jesus teaches us things about the kingdom of God, where he gives us parables, when he tells us the kingdom of God is like this, the kingdom of heaven is like that, it's just to whet our taste buds. It's to get us excited to know that here comes something that's going to be so glorious, so wonderful, so magnificent, he can't even explain it to us. And so he just paints a small picture for us so we can get excited to see what it's like. And so this next parable in Mark chapter 4 is about the kingdom of God. This parable is only found in the Gospel of Mark. Usually when we read parables, we can see them in Luke or Matthew. But this parable is only recorded for us in the Gospel of Mark. Let's read it. And he said, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and he rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produced by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." Now, I don't know about anybody else, but if you've ever had the opportunity, as I have, where you can share the gospel with somebody that perhaps at work or, you know, somebody, a friend or whatever, I know for myself in some situations, after we've finished the conversation or after I've gone home or whatever's happened, I've always thought in my head, oh, if only I said this, it would have been far better. Or perhaps if I worded it differently, or if I was clearer on this or on that. And then I fall into this trap where I start to think, you know, if it was up to my words, then the person would be saved. But it's not up to my words at all. It's not up to any of our words, really, if somebody is saved. What I need to remind myself, and what I need to remind all of us, is that I and we don't save anyone. It's not up to us as Christians to save people. We are simply to be the heralds of the gospel. We are simply to proclaim the gospel and show people how they can be saved. God does the saving. That's a relief. That's a huge relief for us. See, in this parable, we have a man who goes out who scatters seeds. He has actively done something. He has spread them all around. His intention is for them to grow. If it was not, he wouldn't bother doing it. But he does not cause the growth at all. In fact, he's surprised when he sees the growth. Again, it's easier for us now to understand this parable if we look at the previous two parables. We began with the word being sown, landed on different soils. And when it lands on the good soil, that lands on the believers, on Christians. The word of God grows in them, they grow up, they become fruitful people. And this same group of people we see, they are described in the next parable as the lamps that shine forth the light of the gospel. And how do they shine forth the light of the gospel? by telling people the gospel, by living it out and showing them what the gospel is like. And so it is up to the disciples, or to us Christians, to spread the good news of the gospel, to scatter the seed like this farmer does. This man who scatters the seed, it could represent us, it could represent the disciples. Some people say that it represents Jesus, particularly because in verse 29, when we see where the farmer goes, he takes the sickle and he starts to cut down the grain. Now, in another parable, in Matthew, we see that that's done and that's used as a judgment, to cut it down and to throw it into fire. But I don't think it fits here, because these are good grain and they're not thrown into the fire. They're not bundled up and cast into the lake of fire. And I don't think it works, because if we look at the previous ones, we see that this this verse tells us that this man is not the cause of the growth. But we know that Jesus is the cause of the growth. So we cannot say that this man represents Jesus. More so, he represents us as Christians, like in the two previous parables we looked at a few weeks ago. And so we can apply this to ourselves as Christians on how we are to share the gospel. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Much like the other parables, this man is scattering the seed. And according to the previous parables, it is the word of God. The word of God is going out. He is throwing it around. This man is a man who is the good soil. He is a Christian man. He is a lamp. He is shining light. He is scattering the seed, scattering the gospel over all of the land. He's bearing light down on all. He's shining the light into darkness. We're going to apply all the parables together. Now, what we see is once this man does his work, he puts in this effort, he leaves. In fact, he goes to bed because there's nothing else for him to do. It must be very difficult for farmers, especially with the drought that we see that we're in now, because all that they can do is plant their seed and then hope. Hope that something will grow. And there's so many things that they go up against. A storm can wipe out their crop, a bug can wipe out their crop, or simply no rain whatsoever. And there's nothing else that this farmer in this parable does. Nothing more that he can do. He scatters the seeds, and then he waits. And he rises from sleeping, and he goes out, and he finds, to his surprise, that it has grown. And he has absolutely no idea how it began to grow. Now, this parable should give us a feeling of such relief when it comes to how we share the gospel with others. Because it's not up to us to give the growth. If we are to apply this to ourselves, we must first examine ourselves, ask ourselves the question, are we scattering seeds? Are we sharing the gospel with people around us? This is exactly what the previous parables were about, light in darkness. Are we light in darkness? Are we the good soil? Are we sharing the gospel? Is that how we are seen by our friends, by our family, the guys closest to us? Do we share the gospel with people who don't know Jesus? Do we share it with others who are hostile perhaps to the gospel, which is even harder to do? Just like this man does. He scatters it for all people. Now, do you notice he doesn't even water the seeds? He didn't take much care to tend the soil, to turn it over, to soften it up. He simply threw them out. And he just hoped for them to grow. He could have perhaps taken more care. But what was important to this man was that the seeds were being scattered. The gospel was being shared. It was being made known. Now notice, he didn't even take care in where they landed. He just threw them out. Scattered them on the land. Now we often think it's easier to talk with certain people about the gospel because we know that they might be more receptive of it, or they're not going to get angry at us. Well, this man threw this seed. He scattered it to everyone. And he didn't care where it landed. Because he knew it needed to go out. That's how important it was. Even though it may be rejected, like we saw in the earlier parable. Some lands on the hard pathway. Some in the rocky ground. Well, this man's desire was for the gospel to be spread out to everyone. He wasn't worried about having a great speech or eloquent words. His goal was to see the gospel out and to fall onto everyone. Now, something that I hear often, which I agree with as well myself, it's very hard to start that conversation. How do we get to that point of sharing the gospel when we know that these people don't want to hear it? And we can't just slip it in without seeming weird. Well, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, listen to what he says here. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaim to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, even Paul says that I came to you and I was fearful. I was trembling. How am I going to say this? How am I going to proclaim this to all these people, this good news of the gospel? People don't want to hear it. He says, I didn't do it with great words of wisdom and with power. He was afraid. He didn't come with wonderful words to persuade people, because he knew that if they put their faith and their trust in his words, in how wonderful he sounded, then their faith is doomed. Because it's not in the gospel, it's in Paul himself. He wants everyone to have their faith rest on the power of God, not on what he says or how he proclaims it. It's not his words, it's not our words, it's the gospel. He says in 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." See, we cannot say we don't want to tell people the gospel because we don't know how to say it. Paul's saying, I came without these wonderful words to try and persuade you. I came without eloquent wisdom. I just proclaimed the gospel. And that's easy when we think about it. He didn't have to preach to make it seem better, to make it seem like it's more wonderful than what it is. Because if we preach or if we proclaim it correctly, then it is so marvelous and so wonderful, we cannot add to it. You cannot make something that is so glorious better. You cannot make the sun shine brighter than what it already does. And Paul's saying, I'm not resting and I'm not trusting in my words because I will stumble. He's saying he's trusting in the gospel, the message. That's where he puts his faith. That's where he puts his confidence. The power does not lie in how we deliver it. That's not what gives the growth. That's not what saves people. The power is the gospel itself. The seeds that are scattered. Paul went on to tell the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no grounds of boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." There is no grounds of boasting for Paul, because he sees the gospel for what it is. And he knows that he needs it more than anyone else. And if it is truly preached, if it is truly spoken to somebody in the street, or to a friend over a coffee, or however you want to do it, it will humble you most of all, if it does not humble them. Because that's what it does. And the point is, for Paul and for this man in this parable who is scattering these seeds, they did their part. They shared the gospel. That's all we can do. They made it known to people. And this man, he awoke the next day to find growth, to find that some of the seeds had taken off. The gospel had planted itself in the hearts of people. For us as Christians, just as the disciples had the task, we are to scatter the seed. We are to scatter the gospel all over the world. And it doesn't matter who it lands on. Now, sadly, in this culture that we live in, people don't want to hear it. They hate the gospel. They are offended by the gospel. But when we find ourselves in the culture that we are in, a world that hates God, a world that hates the righteousness of God, a world that hates Jesus Christ and says, how dare you tell me that I need a savior? Well, that's exactly the sort of world, exactly the sort of culture that we need to say the gospel in. And it's only up to us as Christians, because we are to bear the light. We are to shine the light like we saw in the previous parable. We're a lamp on a stand for all people to see. And we shine forth the gospel. We say the gospel. We scatter the seeds like this man in this parable. How do we do it? Well, Paul tells us the mode or the way a person is saved. Again, in Romans 10, he says this: how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? So how do you call on the Lord Jesus in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. See, preaching doesn't just have to be when you stand up the front. It's also when you're talking with somebody in the shopping center, or your friends, or your family members. But it's only when you share the gospel, because that's what matters. That's what saves. It's not telling your testimony, even though that's good and it's helpful and it's encouraging. And it's not telling them that you go to church, even though that's good to let people know. It's only when we share the gospel. That's the seed that is spread. That's the seed that is going out. We are to be like this man in this parable, scattering the seed wherever we can. A great preacher once said, a true Christian who doesn't share the gospel must be the most hateful person in the world. A true Christian who doesn't share the gospel must be the most hateful person in the world. Because if we truly believe that this is how we are saved, that anybody is saved, then why would we not want to share it? That's the point of him saying that. For us to know the way of salvation and then to withhold it from people is a horrible thing. To say, I'm not going to throw the seed over there because it's going to fall into the hard pathway. That's not up to us. And it's very easy for us, all of us, to fall into the trap of not wanting to tell people. It's very easy. Because we see that we are up against people who hate the gospel. This is an example that Paul gave us. He came to them fearing. He came to them trembling, worrying. What is he going to say? But he told them anyway. He told them the best way he possibly could. Because he knew. It's not him that gives the growth. It's God that gives the growth. Just like it's not us that saves anyone, it is God that saves. We simply scatter the seeds. I told you this once before, probably a couple of months ago. But every single time before I preach, I'll read Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 11. Every single time, whether I'm preaching here or at another church. Because of the words in it, they're a great encouragement. Isaiah 55, I'll read verse 10 to 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. It is totally up to God, and it's totally up to his purposes. He will do what he wants to do with the seed. He will cause growth or he will not cause growth. It's totally up to him. But he'll only do it if the seed's scattered in the first place, which is up to us as Christians. We are to share the gospel. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. See, that through the folly of what we preach. He's not saying the folly of the gospel. He's saying how we do it. When we stumble over our words, when we forget what to say, when we don't know how to approach somebody because we're nervous and we're scared that we're going to say the wrong thing. The folly of how we tell people the gospel, God uses that to save. That's what he's saying. So be encouraged that even the Apostle Paul went fearfully and trembling to tell the gospel, but he did it anyway. And he's saying even the silliness of how we speak and how we try to get across the glories of God, even though we cannot do it fully, he's saying God uses that to save. God saves whom he will save through the folly of our words. And God uses us to save. But he only uses us if we scatter the word into the world. If we scatter the gospel, if we tell people the gospel. And God brings the growth exactly how it should happen, in the right order, so that his people grow up strong, bearing fruit. We see verse 28, the earth produced by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. God brings the growth for this man's seed. Slowly, bit by bit, so that it doesn't fail, it doesn't sprout up too fast like we saw in the first parable, because it's on the rocky soil. This one grows up strong. First the blade, gives it its shape, its strength, to grow into the sunlight, and then the ear, and then the full grain of the ear, the fruit, the fruitfulness, the grain that is in it. It is produced. And once it is fully grown, the man stands back and he sees this field that is ready for harvest, and he's amazed. You know, he scattered this out. He didn't know if it was going to grow. He had no idea whatsoever, and he was amazed when he stood there now and he sees not only has it grown, but it's bear fruit. It is a good harvest. It is a good crop. And so he takes the sickle and he cuts them down. He bundles them up. He doesn't throw them into the fire because they're pointless. These are good. It is a good harvest. It is a good group of Christians that bear the fruit. And it all comes from spreading and from scattering the small seed, which is the gospel. Let's bow. Let's pray. Well, our Father, we thank you for this parable, and we thank you that we do not need to trust in ourselves to save people, but we trust in you. And yet we know that we are those who are to share the gospel. This is hard for us. It is difficult for us to talk to people about the gospel because there's so much hostility and hatred, and people laugh at us and mock us. So please help us, give us the strength we need, give us the boldness we need to do this, and help us when we do it to stand there and be amazed that you have given growth and that you have called more people into your kingdom. Because the only way anybody can enter your kingdom is if you call them in and you bless them. So help us to be heralds of your gospel, to proclaim it, to be the light in darkness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.